Edge with Chris Graham.
Welcome to the podcast, Chris Graham. We've got Seth Meganson joining us here, and Seth put himself through an interesting exercise. You've probably seen these kind of things out and about from time to time, the preseason bracketology. It's not like we have to just wait till March to do this fun stuff. Seth has tackled going through 1 through 68 plus the last four in and the first four out and the next four out. So a bunch of teams, and we're getting ready to start basketball. As we're recording this podcast, it's Tuesday, and so the first games are being played today, and so it's a good time to jump into this. Seth, thank you for your time, and how much went into doing all this work to get this this preseason bracketology out?
Well, it was a lot of going through preseason basketball magazine. As you know, that I'm a fan of preseason magazine. Reading up as much as I could, seeing who had returning starters, getting to pretty much the feel of how good each of the, like, recruiting classes were, which freshmen were probably going to be impact players, and then just kind of looking at maybe like the trajectory of the programs over the last couple of years and what to expect. I mean, there are probably plenty of teams that were I have in the field right now in my preseason bracketology that you might be like, really, he thinks they're going to be good? But I have a feeling there's going to be some teams that are going to turn a corner this year, and then there might be teams that, you know, you were surprised that I had left off. So yeah, it was a lot of research, a lot of like looking through different websites, and I mean, I did base some things off of other like bracketology, like looking to see, well, maybe I'm too high on this team, maybe I'm too low. Let me see what this person thinks. But at the end of the day, I'd say it's mostly pretty much through just research through like the preseason magazine and looking at like what teams are going to have coming in for this year with transfers and recruiting.
I can only guess how hard this is from the national perspective, 353 teams. It's hard enough. I get to vote in the all-ACC preseason stuff, both football and basketball. And that's only in football it's 14, in basketball it's 15. And that's a hard enough time. So let's go through your number one seeds first. Michigan State, Louisville, Kansas, Florida. Talk to me about some of your thoughts about each of those teams and why you have them as preseason number ones.
Yep. So, I mean, I'm sure you've seen, a lot of people are very high on Michigan State this year. They have Winston back. He's an All-American. I mean, Tom Izzo, it seems like at least once in every 4 years he gets to the Final Four. He did last year as well. I mean, they just have so much returning that, I mean, it's hard not to think that they should be the best team in the country. They're just going to be a well-coached, well-oiled machine like they always are. I think Louisville, who I have as my second number one, I was very surprised to see a lot of people picking them to win the ACC and a bunch of things. I had kind of always had my heart set on picking them because I know they have a lot coming back, and they overachieved last year. I really thought that they were still going to be kind of down in the dumps last year, but I really liked what I saw out of them. They were competitive. I think that they're on the right track, and I think that they have enough experience that they're going to probably be the favorites in the ACC over teams like Duke and Carolina and Virginia. Then with Kansas, I mean, it feels like Kansas is always a number one seed. It doesn't matter what year it is. I know that they have the investigation going on with the FBI and everything like that, but I don't think that's going to affect them. They return a lot of talent and bring in some good players. And then with my last number one, who was Florida, I'm a little bit indifferent when it came to Blackshear transferring in. I feel like he walks onto the court, he has four fouls automatically. But I think that he's a big missing piece, and I think it's going to be a battle between them and Kentucky in the SEC. And I actually, that's who I was debating putting that last one seed as, would be Florida and Kentucky. So that would be an interesting battle. But I think Blackshear going to Florida put them over the top for me.
Yeah, I love Blackshear. I've seen him up close the last few years from Virginia Tech, and he's the biggest acquisition of anybody in college basketball this year, because he's a senior and a great post player, and there aren't a lot of great post players in basketball either at the college or pro level. So I think that's a good call there. Looking through the ACC, because, you know, that's a focal point for a lot of folks probably listening to this podcast, you've got Duke as a two seed, you've got Carolina as a three seed, Virginia, NC State as six seeds, I see Florida State as an eight seed, I'm probably missing somebody here, but maybe your thoughts on the ACC teams that you put in your preseason bracketology.
Yeah, I think that this year, it's going to be a very interesting year in the ACC to see what happens. Duke has a very good freshman class coming in, but it's not anywhere near as being as talented as last year's was. But it'll be interesting to see. I'm very excited to see like what they bring to the floor tonight. But with the returning of Jones, I think that that was going to be a big factor. I think Duke might be one of those teams that, like, early in the year maybe takes a while to find their footing. But I think by the time the tournament rolls around, they're going to be a team that nobody wants to play. So I figured a 2 seed was probably best suited for them. And then kind of the same with North Carolina. I think they might take their bumps early, but then by the end of the year, they'll be a team that you don't want to play. I'm really excited to watch Cole Anthony play. I think he might be the best freshman in the country. They could be the team that I think could sneak up on some people. Depends on how, like, the transfers that they got in, how they gel with the guys that were there and the new recruits. But, yeah, so I put them on the 3 line. Then, probably in a little bit of a surprise, I had Virginia at a 6. I think a lot of people I saw had them as a 3 or 4. I think this Virginia team is going to resemble a lot like the 2016-2017 team. I think they're going to be competitive. I mean, they're always going to be competitive with Tony Bennett. But I think we're going to see a lot of games like in the 40s and 50s. I don't know how well you remember that season. That was Kyle Guy's freshman and Jerome's freshman year. It seemed like every game was like in the 50s, and each game was like a 2-point game, was like a 6. It just, it felt like every game came down to the wire. So I think Virginia might have some trouble scoring this year, but I still think that with the team that they have, a 6 seed is very, like, I think that's a good goal. Like, I think it's very reasonable to think that that's where they're going to go. NC State, I also had them at a 6. I actually really like NC State. They're kind of my sleeper this year, which is kind of funny because I kind of bashed them, their football team, coming into this year. So I had some people telling me that I hate NC State, but then I'm like, but I think that you're a dark horse in basketball this year. But no, I really do think that this NC State team is very well-rounded. I think that that could be a team that could make a run to like a Sweet 16 or Elite 8. So definitely be on the watch for NC State. And then I believe I had 2 ACC teams as 8 seeds with Florida State and Notre Dame.
Okay.
Florida State, they're just so well coached. They don't have a lot returning, but it's just hard for me to like dismiss anything that they're doing down there. I just feel like every year they're competitive. They play good defense. They always have 1 or 2 athletes who can score. So they might actually be a team that I think might actually be better. It's just, like I said, there's not like a lot of returning offensive power on that team, so I don't know exactly what to make of them. So I thought an 8 would probably be the best place to put them. And then, yeah, Notre Dame is kind of my surprise from last year because they really weren't that competitive last year, but they return, I think it's 4 starters. And I mean, I think Bray is a great coach. I think that he won't have another down year. I think that they have some depth issues, but I think that with the 4 returning starters, a lot of leadership, I think Notre Dame should be just fine. So I actually have them kind of my surprise ACC team getting in as an 8 seed. And I believe that I don't have it in front of me right now. I believe that was all of the team from the ACC that I had in.
Yeah, I'm scanning and making sure I didn't see anybody else from the ACC. I wanted to ask about, so there's 3 other Virginia schools. VCU's getting a lot of love preseason, top 25 ranking nationally. You have them as a 6 seed. And then 2 other schools that we're very familiar with, Liberty, who won a game in the NCAA tournament last year, you have them as going back this year as a 12 seed. And I like the matchup there, Texas Tech. I'm pretty familiar with Texas Tech for some reason. I'm not sure why that might be. And then Radford also sneaking in. That had to be a nice one for you to stick in there. And actually, the way you have it matched up, Radford and Duke and Greensboro, that might be a fun game just because, hey, Radford and Greensboro, that's not too far of a drive. So talk about those 3 schools.
Oh, yeah. So I'll start with VCU. VCU is going to have a very good team this year. They return most of their starters. The one thing with them that I'm concerned about is I actually think the A-10 is going to be very competitive this year. I have Davidson as well in the NCAA tournament. They're returning pretty much their whole team. So it's going to be a battle in that conference. So you don't know. You know, they might waste so much energy just trying to be the champions of that conference that once the tournament comes around, they might be worn out. But I really like this VCU team. It's so funny. It seems like when one coach leaves, you think that it's done for them. Like, VCU is going to fall back to like a mid-tier team in the A-10, and they just keep on getting better and better. And then as for Liberty, there are some people who are very high on Liberty. I actually saw one 3-season magazine that Liberty ranked 21st in the nation. I was surprised by that. But, yeah, Liberty returns a lot of the players from that team that you said last year beat Mississippi State in the first round. So they're going to be a solid team, and they always play good defense. I mean, every time I watch them, I feel like, you know, they're just a well-coached team. And then as for Radford, Radford is actually the favorites of the Big South this year. Have a really good guard in Clark. I think he might be one of the most underrated guards in the country. I don't like that I matched him up with Duke and Greensboro just because I don't want to think about my alma mater, Radford, losing to Duke in the NCAA tournament, anybody but them. But I would say that's a team that I think could potentially upset somebody because they have very good guard play. And Mike Jones, I believe he's in his seventh or eighth season at Radford. He has been playing the best basketball that they've been playing under him. And every year, it seems like Radford does upset one or two teams. Last year, Radford went into Texas and beat Texas. So it's not unthinkable to think that Radford might, you know, be a 14 or 15 seed and be the upset of the tournament this year.
So for our listeners out there, this is all on the Augusta Free Press website. We posted this earlier on Tuesday. It'll be there if you want to check out Seth's rankings here. So I wanted to point out a couple things. Last year's Final Four, you had Michigan State, of course, as a one seed. I see Texas Tech as a five. We talked about Virginia as a six. I see Auburn as an 11 in this year's field from your rankings here. Some other schools that were memorable from last year, at the same South Regional that Virginia played in. I see Tennessee you have as an 8. I saw Purdue on here too. Purdue was a 5. I remember Purdue because Carson Edwards made shots all day long. Still making them now, I think, as we're playing, talking right now. So those are a couple that come out to my Oregon. I saw also, I think, in your rankings here, and I'm trying to find them again real quick, but I saw them as a 7 out west. So and I'm noticing here Gonzaga and Maryland. Let me get to talk about Gonzaga and Maryland. You both have them both as twos, and maybe Kentucky as well. Those are your other three twos. We talked about Duke as a two. Gonzaga, Maryland, Kentucky. What do you like about those programs?
So I'll start with Gonzaga. With Gonzaga, I mean Mark Few. I mean the program that he's built there over the last 30 years has been just remarkable. Gonzaga, though, you know, it is always tough for me to pick Gonzaga, like in anything, because you just never know, like when they get the tournament, like have they really been battle tested? Like, because usually what seems to happen with them is they play a good non-conference schedule every year, and they kind of somewhat do well in it, but not anything overly impressive, and then they just dominate everybody for the second half of their season. So it's always kind of hard to figure out exactly like how good Gonzaga is come tournament time. But I think this Gonzaga team is going to be a very good team. I mean, they're perennial top 10. Everybody across the board seems to think they're going to be a top 10 team. It's Gonzaga. I mean, like, I wish I could, like, break it down, but it's just like, you see the name now, and Gonzaga's just earned that respect that they need to be, like, a top 3 seed, at least, in the NCAA tournament. Then with Maryland, this is going to be, I think, a make-or-break year for Maryland. They have so much returning talent. Last year, I felt like, just like teams I mentioned earlier, I felt like they overachieved. So this is a make-or-break year for them. I think that if this team doesn't live up to the expectations that they have, like maybe doesn't make it to like an Elite Eight or a Final Four, there could be some turnover in Maryland because I think that this is the best team that they've had there since the national championship team. I really believe that. And then with Kentucky, I mean, John Calipari, he's got a good mix this time of young recruits who came in and guys who actually stayed, which is probably like if you go to a Kentucky basketball game this year, you're probably going to be stunned to see sophomore, juniors, and seniors on the roster because they're just not used to that. So I'd say they're a very good balance of veteran and young. Kentucky is kind of like if someone told me to pick somebody who I think that's not a one that I think would probably win the national championship on my original bracketology, I'd actually go with Kentucky because I think this is the most veteran-laden team that Calipari's had, but which, I mean, that just means they're all sophomores now, but still, it's just a good balance of guys who have been there and new talent coming in. So, yeah, I was going to say, I think all three of those teams will be teams to watch out for.
So as we're wrapping up here, we're starting basketball tonight. I think the some of the good games are tonight. I think those first four games, if you want to call them that, those the big games in I don't know if they're in Indianapolis this year or not. They were last year. Of course, the ACC starts up tomorrow. I'm not sure what I think about playing ACC games this early. But how excited are you that we're here? Basketball is tipping off here in the next few hours.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm very excited. I mean, the matchups tonight are awesome. 1 versus 2, 3 versus 4. So I'm very much looking forward to it. I'm very much looking forward, like I said, to seeing how the freshmen at Duke do. And then to see, like, Jones will probably be the leader of that team, see how he handles everything in their matchup with Kansas. And then, yeah, like, let's see how Michigan State does with the pressure of being number one. I don't know if this is correct, so you can correct me if I'm wrong, but did they say it was the first time they were the preseason number one in program history, is what I heard, I think, from Michigan State, or was it when under Izzo?
I'm not sure that. I have to look that up, but it wouldn't surprise me. I mean, they're always in the top, it seems like they're always in the top five, certainly top ten, but it would not surprise me that this would be the first time, because traditionally, at least last few years anyway, it's always Duke, Kentucky. I mean, you know, there or maybe Gonzaga. Actually, Gonzaga, I don't think, had ever been a preseason number one. So no, that wouldn't surprise me that that's the case. That is interesting, though, when you think about how good Tom Izzo teams have been over the last, say, 20 years.
Yeah, I was going to say, so when I heard that, I was like, that cannot be true, but I was going to say, so maybe I just heard it from a wrong source or something like that. But yeah, let's see how they do with the pressure of being the number one team in the country. I heard that they're not even going to be on Twitter this year. Like, they're trying to remain just focused on each other, focused on basketball. So yeah, very excited for those games tonight. I'm kind of in the same boat with you about playing ACC games right off the bat. I get it. The ACC Network, it's a new thing. But I was going to say, if I was Virginia, Syracuse, Notre Dame, and North Carolina, I'd be a little bit not happy that I have to play a meaningful game towards the ACC standing starting off the season when you don't really know what you have. Like, you don't know, like, what type of team you have, and the team that you have now is not going to be the team that you have even by Christmas. It definitely isn't the team you're going to have by March.
Yeah, in Virginia's case, the Hoos, we play Syracuse on the road, defending national champion starting on the road, and I saw some number about, like, the first time in 30-plus years that a defending champ started on the road. But then they also play North Carolina in, like, the first weekend of December, so there's two pretty meaningful games there. Now, at least, early December, you know, both Virginia and Carolina, who have a lot of turnover from last year, they'll both have had some time to work their kinks out. But boy, yeah, you're right. Tomorrow night, I mean, you're going out there, both Syracuse and Virginia, because Syracuse also lost three of their top four scorers from last year. But man, you're talking about going out there not really knowing anything about your team, and you're not playing, you know, God love those mid-majors and small conference teams that you play the first, you know, the first game or two, but you're not playing one of those. You're playing another big boy, and that's got to be scary for both Jim Boeheim and Tony Bennett going in tomorrow night.
Yeah, and like we've talked about how Virginia, you know, they lost a lot. Like, yeah, no Guy, you got no Jerome. So this is going to be a completely different team than what they had last year. So I was going to say that if you wanted to play Virginia this year, Syracuse, I think, actually got the perfect time to play them at home when Virginia doesn't really have their identity as well. Identity when it comes to scoring, they're always going to have their defense identity, Virginia. But yeah, you don't know, like, where their points are going to come from. You don't know, like, what to think of Diakite, even though he caught on fire in the NCAA tournament. So yeah, I think this is actually a perfect time for Syracuse to play Virginia.
I'll look at it too. The other side of that, I've been looking at the Syracuse team with all their turnover too. It might not be a bad time to play Syracuse. I'd much rather play a bunch of newcomers playing that 2-3 zone rather than playing them in like February when they play that 2-3 zone. I hate playing that 2-3 zone no matter when you got to play them. So I'm thinking both coaches are probably upset. Hey, we couldn't have played somebody else in the ACC. We've got to play against the 2-3 zone of the pack line defense. We couldn't play against anybody else other than those elite level defenses. So yeah, it should be a lot of fun the next couple of days getting this season started. Well, Seth, I want to thank you for your time, and we'll talk to you again soon.
All right. Thanks, Chris. Thanks for having me.